Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about. One of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting / kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup. Today's podcast is brought to you by newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird
morning.
Cup of murder.
Just because someone committed a brutal crime doesn't necessarily mean they are vilified by the public. On March 8th, 1905, a young woman was born who would go on to commit a murder that, in the eyes of many, made both her and her sister heroes. A case that, to this day, remains one that graces the pages of many history books. So, if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Born in Le Mans, France, on March 8, 1905, Christine Papin and her sister Leah, born September 15, 1911, came from a troubled family where their mother, though having an affair with her employer, married her father when they found out that she was pregnant with the girl's eldest sister. Suspecting that she was still seeing the man, their father found a new job in a new city and announced his plans to uproot the family. Their mother responded by telling him that she would rather take her own life than leave Le Mans. The marriage began rapidly deteriorating, and their father began drinking heavily. Christine was then born and, described as lacking the nurture necessary to raise a child, they found Clemence unfit for motherhood and sent the new baby to go live with a paternal aunt and uncle soon after her birth. Living there a total of 7 years, seven reportedly happy years, when her sister Leah was born in 1911, she, too, was given to a family member, a maternal uncle, and stayed with the man until his death. About a year after the birth of her youngest sister, the Papins' firstborn, Amelia, who was now about 9 or 10 years old, claimed that her father, Gustave, had raped her. A devastating confession, the girl's mother accused her of seducing her own father and sent the young girl to an orphanage known for its discipline and brutality towards its wards. She was soon joined by her sisters, Christine and Leah, who, as far as Clemence planned, would stay there until their 15th birthdays, the age in which they could all get a job. The couple divorced at some point during all of this. In 1918, Amelia decided to join a convent, cutting all ties with her family. But when Christine expressed her wish to follow in her sister's footsteps, Clemence put a stop to it and instead sent her off to work as a live-in maid. described as a hard worker, a good cook, but a young woman who could be insubordinate at times, Christine easily transitioned into this new phase in her life. And when her sister Leah was old enough, she too went to work in various homes in Le Mans. Leah, who was described as quiet, introverted, obedient, and less intelligent than her older sister, preferred working in homes where Christine too had a job. And though the employers were always satisfied with their work, Clemens never seemed to be happy with their level of pay and often forced the girls to go off and find someone with deeper pockets. That's how, in 1926, they wound up as the live-in maids inside the Lancelin home under the command of Monsieur René, a retired solicitor, his wife Madame Leonie, and their younger daughter, Genevieve. Living alongside the family in a beautiful two-story townhouse, the girls dedicated their lives to serving the Lancelin home. And by all outside accounts, were treated well and paid a fair wage. Not only were the girls allegedly allowed to eat some of the same food the family did and live inside a heated room, luxuries not afforded to most in their positions, but the Papin sisters did such a wonderful job that the Lancelins were the envy of every French upper-class household who wished that they, too, could have such dedicated domestic help. But nothing was as it seemed. You see, behind closed doors, the relationship between the employer and staff inside the Lancelin home was quite a peculiar one. Christine and Leah never once spoke with Monsieur René during the 7 years that they worked there, and only dealt directly with Madame Leonie, who, according to the sources, was a woman who demanded absolute perfection. Performing routine white glove tests to ensure that everything was clean, over the course of their employment, Madame Leonie developed depression and seemed to target all of her ire on the two sisters. So much so that, on several occasions, she reportedly physically assaulted the Papin sisters when their work was not to her standards, and at one point, even slammed their heads against a wall. It was in the midst of this growing turmoil that the events of February 2nd, 1933 happened. On that particular evening, Monsieur René was supposed to meet his wife and daughter for dinner at the home of a family friend. The women had been out shopping earlier in the day, and the plan was for them to return, prepare themselves, and then head out to the dinner when the time came. However, when Madame Leonie and Genevieve arrived at the home, they noticed that all of the interior lights had been snuffed out. And when asking about the power outage, Christine explained that something must have short-circuited when she plugged in a faulty iron. Absolutely furious, Madame Leonie began beating the sisters on the first floor landing. And without warning, Christine snapped and lunged for her mistress's daughter. Gouging out young Genevieve's eyes, Leah then joined the attack and targeted Madame Leonie. Ordered by her sister to gouge the woman's eyes out as well, Leah obeyed while Christine ran downstairs to the kitchen to grab a knife and hammer. Handing one weapon to her sister, the attack continued, and at some point, one of the girls grabbed a heavy pewter pitcher and used it to strike both Madame Leonie and Genevieve in the head. Mutilating the buttocks and thighs of their victims, the Lancelin women were now completely helpless and lay silently as the attacks continued. And at some point, according to some of the sources, the sisters, quote, basted Madame Leonie in her daughter's menstrual blood. Finishing with the absolute bloodbath, the Papin sisters cleaned themselves up, locked every single door in the house, lit a single candle in their room, and waited for the inevitable moment where they were caught. Monsieur René came home to find all the lights were out, and assuming that his wife and daughter had already left for the dinner party, he went off to join them, only to find out, upon arrival, that no one had seen either woman. Returning with his son-in-law sometime between 6:30 and 7 p.m., they found that all the lights were still out, but there seemed to be a faint glow coming from a candle in the Papin sisters' room. Finding all the doors were bolted shut, The men went to the local police station and asked for help. Together, they returned to the Lancelin home with the policemen who were able to gain entry by climbing over the garden wall. Once inside, they found the mutilated bodies of Madame Leonie and Genevieve Lancelin, both bludgeoned and stabbed to death to the point of being absolutely unrecognizable. Eyes missing from their sockets, Madame Leonie's eyeballs were found in the folds of a scarf she wore around her neck, and one of her daughter's eyeballs lay under her body, while the other was at the end of the hallway. Thinking for a moment that the live-in maids suffered from a similar fate at the hands of some unknown murderer, the officers continued to the sisters' room and found it locked shut. Receiving no responses to their knocks, a locksmith arrived and opened the door for the officers, who, once stepping inside, found the Papin sisters lying in bed together, naked, with a bloody hammer lying in a nearby chair. The weapon still had hair clinging to it. Confessing to the double murder right then and there, Christine Papin told the officers it was her or us, while her sister simply said, "From now on, I am deaf and dumb." The sisters were quickly arrested, and as news spread of their deadly deeds, intellectuals at the time argued that the crime was a manifestation of the class struggle, that the sisters rebelled against their tyrannical employers as a reflection of the poor working conditions experienced by most servants at the hands of their affluent masters. Becoming a symbol of class warfare, Leia kept her promise, remained quiet and scared, as her sister Christine took the reins with fits of anger, paranoia, and complete outrage. Attempting to claw out her own eyes at some point, thus being forced into a straitjacket while awaiting her trial, Christine became more and more distressed the longer they kept her away from her sister. At some point, prison officials gave in and allowed the girls to meet, and, according to the sources, Christine threw herself upon Leia, unbuttoned her blouse, and began begging, "Please say yes," causing many to believe that the sisters were engaged in an incestuous sexual relationship. Though more modern sources debate the validity of this assumption, Christine, who experienced a, quote, fit prior to her trial, claimed that that same thing happened when she and her sister murdered the Lancelin women that day and, therefore, left the door open for their lawyers to plead not guilty by reason of insanity on their behalf. A valid claim considering the Papin sisters' actions, especially while in jail, the court appointed three doctors to administer psychological evaluations. But in the end, all three concluded that the women were both sane, fit to stand trial, and had no signs of mental illness. They also claimed that Christine's affection for her sister was because they were family, not incestuous like the others had suggested. The trial began in September of 1933, but despite the claims of the court-appointed doctors, evidence of a history of mental illness in their family was presented in the courtroom, as the psychological community began debating over the Papin sisters' potential diagnosis. That's when, for the first time in the case, someone mentioned the words, folly à deux. A shared psychosis that includes symptoms like hearing voices, a sense of persecution, the capability for inflicting violence, inappropriate expressions of sexuality, and the need to defend oneself against imagined threats. Though it is common for those afflicted with folie à deux to focus their paranoia and anger at a mother figure, it was Madame Leonie Lancelin whom the girls felt was their persecutor, and with one person in the pair often dominant over the other, experts surmised that Christine was the one in charge and that Leia simply followed suit. Protecting each other with everything they had during their trial, both taking sole responsibility to try and save the other, the sisters, who had become idols to many who rallied against elitism and the upper class, were found guilty after just 40 minutes of deliberation. Leia, thought to be under the influence of her sister, was given a 10-year sentence, while Christine, though initially sentenced to death by guillotine, later had it commuted to life in prison. Officially separated from one another once and for all, Christine's health deteriorated rapidly without her sister. Experiencing bouts of depression and, quote, madness, eventually Christine refused all food and was transferred to a mental institution where, on May 18, 1937, she died of cachexia. Leia, in a shocking turn of events, actually seemed to thrive without the influence of her older sister and was released after just 8 years behind bars for her good behavior. She lived out the rest of her life under a new name and served as a hotel maid before passing away in 1982. However, according to a French film producer, Claude Ventura, he found Leia Papin living in a hospice center in 2000 after a stroke left her partially paralyzed and unable to speak. He claims she died in July of 2001. The sisters were buried together, and to this day, their true motive remains unknown, but they are infamous for the crime they committed against their employer. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on March 9th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.